This is the Inner Change Maker with Jay Wong, the podcast dedicated to purpose-driven entrepreneurs and multi-passionate individuals. Tune in each week as we bring you an inspiring person and message to help you activate and tap into your inner change maker. Thanks for spending some time with us today, and let's get started. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another episode of The Inner Changemaker. And today we have such a special guest with me, Bobby Umar, who is a four-time TEDx world-class speaker. He writes for the Huffington Post. He has this great conference that he's putting together in terms of personal branding, and he's really considered a thought leader in personal branding and networking and really connecting with others. Welcome to the show, Bobby.
Thank you very much, Jay. Appreciate it. Happy to be here.
Did I miss anything in that intro there? I know that there's a few things that you write out typically.
Well, you know, I'm always involved in lots of things, and it's hard to keep track of them. But these days, I'm focused mostly on, engaging thought leadership and talking about networking and talking about personal branding and running my DYPB conference. So you nailed quite a bit of it, which is great. Thank you.
That's awesome. So let's, you know, before we jump into, I know we have some, you know, kind of an exciting stuff lined up with networking. Before we jump into all the tactical stuff, I mean, what, you know, let's start in the beginning. I mean, what's your motivation?
My motivation, wow. Well, it all goes back to my why statement, which is there are lost leaders everywhere. And what that means is that everywhere I go, I meet people who feel lost personally, professionally, in their career, in their school. They feel lost socially, sometimes spiritually. Yeah. And it happens to everybody, even myself. You know, like I could freely admit that sometimes I felt lost in my physical fitness journey and my health journey. And I was also lost in my career too. And so I meet people like that all the time. And it doesn't matter what age they are, 20, 30, 50, 60. And my message to them is that it's okay to feel lost sometimes, because we all do, including myself, but it's not okay to do nothing about it. And so when I have that very, very firm why in my head, I wake up every day and everything I do is aligned with that why. So when I'm with my kids, I look at them as lost leaders. When I help my friends out, they're lost leaders. When I go do my work and coaching and with speaking and things like that, they're a lost leader. So I find that why statement, I've now had it for 2 years. It definitely keeps me focused on my purpose, on my target, on the pain that people feel and the problem I'm trying to solve.
That's really great. Is it something, I know for myself, one of my coaches previously told us to kind of write down this, like, you know, write a very detailed vision of yourself and, you know, have your why statement. Is that something that you reference every morning? It's hung up in your office, or how do you kind of remind yourself of that?
I don't have anything actually, you know, posted on my walls,
sure.
But, you know, whenever I work with people on their vision, mission, and why statements, I commit it to memory. It is committed to memory. I can talk about it ad nauseum. Some of my clients are like, oh, I forget part of my vision. Well, you know what? You need to ingrain this in your head, heart, and soul.
Yeah.
So for me, that's what I have. And, you know, as soon as I wake up, I think about that, reflect for the first 10 seconds, and off I go.
Sure. Well, that's really awesome. And I love, like, how passionate you really are about, you know, just talking to you just before the interview about, you know, everyone needing to kind of develop their own personal brand, and, you know, it all starts with networking. I mean, can you give us maybe an example of your life and business and how maybe you suffered when you did not have this initial personal branding and you didn't know the proper networking skills?
Sure. I mean, you know, I've always been a great relationship guy and a great connector, but I wasn't a great networker. And so I did my MBA after my engineering degree because I wanted to switch careers into marketing and get into film and television, because I'd already been a theater guy, musical theater guy, producing and directing musicals. And so after my MBA, I was looking for a job in TV and film, and I had a really hard time because even though my resume looked amazing, I couldn't get anything, because in film and television, they don't look at resumes. They look at – it's about networking. You have to who you know. And so – so I started going through my networks, and all I had were theater contacts. No one was in film and television. And then I didn't even think about going to TV film events to network with people, I just kept relying on my own personal network. And so I never found anything for like 6 to 8 months. And so I decided to move on to some other opportunities. What? And then another example actually would be when I finished my my MBA, I was looking for a job. I had engineering, I had performing arts, and I had marketing on my resume, but it wasn't very focused.
Yeah.
And so it was hard for me to get a job, but also hard for me to convince people that, you know what, I was the best. So to me, not having understand what my brand was, what I was bringing across, made it more difficult to find opportunities.
Sure, sure. Well, I mean, why don't you tell me something that you could do now? Because, you know, current day, now that you do have that personal brand and you do understand, you know, all these little, you know, tactics that we'll get into about networking.
I think, there's a couple things. One is I know my value. Like, I know what I bring to the table. So when you dive in your personal brand, you get a sense of your values, but not just your values, but your value, right? So I know what I'm awesome at and what I'm good at. And when someone says, hey, can you help me? I'm like, yes, I can help you. I can do great work. And that value allows me to price myself as well in a way that is competitive and makes sense. That's one thing. And the second thing is more about focus. So like knowing my brand and knowing what opportunities come my way, I'm able to leverage that to find the right person to network with strategically. Because right away, I go to LinkedIn and I do a quick word search and I can find 5-10 people to look at that, you know, are relevant to what I'm trying to do. So that focus network really helps.
I love that you said that, you know, in terms of the value, right?
Yeah.
And I mean, I think it's Gary Vaynerchuk, you know, talks about a lot about it, where he says he goes all in on his strengths.
I love Gary V.
And you know, he's doing so much content, but you could tell from everything he does that he is a guy that goes all in on his strengths. You know,
totally.
And he tries to, you know, not necessarily deal with all the, you know, quote unquote weaknesses that he might have.
Yeah, I mean, I learned that a few years ago when I looked at Strengths Finders, and you know, the whole idea, you know, that Michael Jordan, you know, he was a superstar basketball player, then he decided to do baseball, but then he's like, you know what, I'm not that good at baseball. Let me go back to basketball and win 3 more championships. I mean, you know, you just spend your time on all your superhero qualities, and I totally agree with that now. And so, like, for example, there's no way I'm going to be doing bookkeeping. I get someone to do that for me.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's kind of crazy to think if Jordan would have just stuck maybe with basketball, he would be even more of this legend. He might have won even more championships.
Totally,
right?
Totally.
Yeah. Well, out of curiosity, I mean, I did Strength Finders a few years back as well. I mean, do you still remember your top five?
Oh man, that was a while ago.
Or at least your top one.
I think I had a combination of activation and woo.
Woo. Okay.
Yeah, those are some of the ones that I remember stood out, but I can't remember them all offhand.
Yeah, yeah. Well, just for the audience, Strength Finders is this. It's this book. I think there's a second edition out now.
There is.
You buy this book, and they've kind of synthesized 36. I think. Different character traits that are, you know, all successful character traits. You take this test and they give you a top five, you know, and I think I had activator as well. And then it's always a big thing. Everyone's wondering, like, what did you get for your top one? Everyone, what did you get for your, you know, top six, you know, because they only give you five, right?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So, like, you know, you're like, oh, what about number seven? That's so good. And you have to prioritize. And you do the same thing when you do a personal brand deep dive too. Like, you have to really hone in on what are the top ones for you.
Yeah, yeah. Have you done other? I guess you know, because this ties in with, you know, developing your personal branding, right? It's, you know, it's all about that self-awareness.
Absolutely.
You know, at the end of the day, knowing, you know, it's not about knowing just like your strength finders, like, oh yeah, I know these are my top five, but like really understanding how to leverage them and play them up into, you know, real life scenarios, whether they're personal or professional. Mm-hmm. And another one is Kobe Index. Have you heard of that?
No, I haven't.
Okay, that's a pretty interesting one. They give you, once again, it's I think you do have to pay for it.
Yeah.
It's Kobe Index, and they give you four different numbers, and each number represents a different category.
Okay.
So, for example, it's one category is a fact finder. So, how much, you know, on a scale to one to ten, how much information do you need before you act? And the whole test is really geared towards people, how they act under pressure. And so what you typically default to.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I've done something similar to that, actually, with a colors insight, not the typical one that people do.
Yeah.
But I mean, there's lots out there. I've done, you know, many. And one of my new favorite ones these days is called Enneagram. That's a pretty cool one, too. So, yeah, there's lots out there.
Right. Yeah. But I think each tool is so great, right, in terms of, you know, discovering your, you know, your personal brand and how that, you know, plays into networking. I mean, you went from, you know, not having, I think a lot of people experience that pain as well, right? They graduate out of school, they're looking for work or they're looking for different opportunities, but because they don't have, you know, the right network, they haven't built up the right network maybe, it becomes so difficult for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I totally agree.
So is there, I mean, maybe to help our audience out a little bit, is there, I mean, I know there's no kind of like solid, you know, framework, like if you do these steps, you know, this is going to be how you're going to be a super networker. But is there some philosophies that maybe they could take with them and apply them whenever they, you know, meet anybody?
I mean, there's lots. I mean, for the most part, networking is about giving, right? Mm. So what are you offering to people? How are you helping them? So how can I help you? That's the first thing I want to ask myself. And if you follow that philosophy, you're going to be in a much better mindset and less stressed about, you know, trying to make the connection that's going to change your life or change your career. You just go there, focus on helping people and teach people and things like that. I also like the idea of investing in their stories. Like, what are their stories? Because stories will reveal people's values and what they care about and their passion. So I like to share my stories, but also invest in understanding their stories. You know, what are things that you're passionate about, or what's the best experience of your life, and things like that. And then finally, the third one, this one's really important, and this is really targeted to your audience, Jay.
Sure.
Follow up. The art, follow up, because not following up renders networking useless.
Is there an example here in terms of what exactly do you mean by following up?
I'll give you a perfect story here. I spoke at an event, 500 people. I did a keynote on networking and personal branding. And I spoke to 500 people. I said, you know what? I'm going to be here the whole day, and I have 500 cards here. I want each of you to come up, get my card, and then you're all welcome to call me for a 10 to 15 minute coaching call. I will totally help you out with anything you need. Now, out of 500 people, how many people got my card? 75. And out of 75 people, though, how many people actually followed up with an email or a text? 17. And out of 17 people, how many people do you think actually stuck with it and followed up to create a relationship with me? That was 2. So the question is, you can either be the top 15% that gets my card, or the top 4% that follows up, or you can be the top 0.2% that creates a relationship with me. Who do you want to be? And I tell you, people do not follow up. And it's amazing what a quick follow-up can do in terms of memorability as well as accessibility.
Wow. What is maybe an example of how one would be able to follow up? I mean, I think as young people or people that are graduating just out of school, you know, they don't exactly, you know, you mentioned it's all about giving, but they're maybe not too clear on, you know, their personal brand or, you know, their value proposition, right? So
yeah.
it would maybe be a little tough for them, you know, to provide that for you guys.
Yeah, what a lot of young people don't understand is they don't understand that they have value too.
Absolutely. And so
their value comes in their experiences, their energy, their drive, their network, their ideas, their youthfulness. There's a ton that they can do to help people out, even people like, let's say, CEOs or vice presidents somewhere. So they have to know that they have that value, and they should offer it. Just put it on the table. What can I do for you? Hey, let me, you know, you can offer something small. Let me offer to research all the different organizations in Toronto that are doing leadership development. Would that be beneficial to you? Sure, it would. Things like that. I mean, it's actually amazing the stuff you can come up with. Now, in terms of how I follow up, it's very simple. I mean, if you know how they like to be contacted, you can email them, you can LinkedIn message them. But, you know, sending a personal message, sharing an article that maybe would they'd find relevant, all that kind of stuff actually works to make yourself memorable, but also to create value for myself. you know, it's funny. I have a lot of interns that work for me. So there was a guy who basically wanted to be my intern for the first time. And I was like, why would you want to do that? Because at the time, I didn't recognize the value. And he's like, well, I want to learn from you. I want to have access to you. I want to do some cool projects. I'm like, oh, okay. And so I did. And, you know, he approached me for that opportunity. And ever since then, you know, I've been hugely supportive of him and his development, but also I've been doing that for a lot of other interns on my team. So I really love doing that. It's actually a great way to invest, and these people have offered their time and their energy, and I respect that.
I think that's really great. I have, I totally agree with you. Sometimes you just have to ask. I remember listening to, I think, a podcast with Jason Gaynard, and he mentioned how a lot of people think that everyone has these mentees under them. And that might be the case, that might be true for some people that, you know, have really high clout and maybe they're just too busy. But for a lot of people, they want to be a mentor. And, you know, you have, you know, value, as you say, as a young person to just be ambitious, to reach out and to try to deliver value where you see fit.
Yeah, and you know what, you know, why can't a recent graduate be a mentor to someone just starting school?
Right. I mean, there you go. I mean, just that 4 years of or 5 years of experience, that life experience alone, that gives a lot of perspective.
Totally. Totally.
It's funny when I was in university, I reached out, you know, to someone who was, you know, definitely, you know, he was a leader in the Ottawa community at the time. And, you know, he ran a couple successful businesses. And, you know, I said, look, I don't want to work in the government. I did a couple internships with, you know, a couple corporations. What can I do, you know, to help you? And can I help you with, you know, marketing? Can I help you with sales? And we ended up becoming, you know, we ended up developing this mentor-mentee kind of relationship. And that has really, you know, having, you know, just one mentor has really been pivotal for myself in terms of my development, in terms of just the learning curve alone. And I know so many people talk about, you know, going out and getting mentors, but I think that's such a crucial step to not overlook and to really, you know, focus on that.
Absolutely. I think every good coach needs a coach. Every good mentor needs a mentor. So, like, you know, I coach people, but I have a coach. I mentor people, I also have my own mentor. And so for me, it's been a great way to have a sounding board, to have focus, to have accountability. All those things are really great for me, my business, but also my personal life.
Yeah. Well, when you do your coaching, is it specifically for, I guess, people that are having like a personal brand issue, or who is it typically geared for?
I think for the most part, I think everybody needs to work on their personal branding. So it doesn't matter who I work with, they have to work on that.
Sure.
But typically, you know, I'll help people with their career planning, right? Whether they're fresh out of school or whether they're 5 years into their career, to how to figure out to make more impact, to grow their career, to create more opportunities, to really ramp up their leadership profile in the workplace. The second thing is really about entrepreneurs, right? Because a lot of entrepreneurs need focus, they need guidance, they need someone to hold their hand. They need them to teach them how to network, how to do social media, how to actually brand themselves, and how to be more focused. So I'd also work with entrepreneurs, whether it's like, you know, a solo entrepreneur or a small business, to really help them figure out how to take their thought leadership to the next level. Because to me, there are three key things you want to develop, whether you're in a corporate career or whether you're in a school or whether you're in an entrepreneurial field. And that is, thought leadership is composed of three things. Number one, you need to learn how to network authentically and build a huge network. Number two, you need to know how to create amazing content and ideas. And number three, you need to be a master public speaker or a written communicator. And those are three things that I would really teach people to how to be thought leaders.
Wow, extremely educational there. Like being a master speaker, I mean, you know, just take that as an example, but I mean, how can someone just practice, I guess, being a master speaker? Does it just involve doing more public speaking?
That's one thing. I mean, if you spend the time understanding how to construct a powerful presentation, how to be a better storyteller, I mean, you know, one of the things I do in my modules for Networking Mastery is talk about storytelling and how to be a better storyteller.
Yeah.
But also how to target, like how to know your audience and how to target specifically for them, right? So depending on who your audience is, there's different ways you can actually target a message that actually resonates with them more than, say, another audience. Like if I'm talking to people in nonprofit versus the corporate world, totally different. If I'm talking to grade nine versus, you know, seniors, it's totally different. So targeting is a big part of it too. And then, of course, there's nothing better than organizing your thoughts and preparing and rehearsing, because that's going to be, for, especially for people who are really nervous, that's going to take you to the next level. So the general idea is know your stuff, organize your stuff, rehearse your stuff.
Right. Oh, let me, I kind of want to switch gears a bit, and I always try to, you know, try to get, you know, different resources, more resources, you know, for the people that are listening. Which books have you read twice?
You know what? It's funny. I would say Harry Potter.
Oh, yeah. Now, is that just to get your mind off of business? Or, I mean, obviously, it's a great story.
Well, you know what's interesting? This is an interesting story, because I've a lot of people ask me, what books do I read? And
sure.
Particularly from a business or leadership perspective. And the truth is, and I'm totally honest about this, I don't read very many books. And the reason is because I'm too busy networking, connecting, having conversations. I believe people learn in three ways. They learn by academic absorption, so reading manuals, journals, articles, books, you know, going to lectures, podcasts, things like that. That's one way. The second way is to learn by doing, which is a huge part of what I've done. Everything I've done in my life that I teach, I've been there and I've done, I've tried and I've failed and I've succeeded, and I teach that stuff. And the third way is through conversation. So talking to you, having a coffee, going for lunch, going to networking events, talking and learning to people. I have a really great memory, so I actually remember conversations and I learn from those people. So to me, those are three ways to learn. So in terms of books, I really haven't read that many leadership books, or haven't. I mean, I do read a lot of articles, but a full book is very hard for me to commit to, just because I'm always busy trying to network and connect with people.
Sure, sure. Well, can you maybe tell us a time where, I mean, I know you mentioned that a lot of the things that you learned was by doing. I mean, tell us something that you were, you know, when you started, you were quite terrible at, but, you know, obviously over time you've built up that muscle there.
Well, I think that, I talked about networking and how it was bad, but now, like, even business, you know, I've run my company now for 8 years. And then when I look at what I did in the first few years, I'm like, God, what was I doing? It's like, you know, going back, I wasted time. I was distracted. I wasn't focused.
Sure.
I wasn't networking with the right people. I was spending my time networking with the wrong people, which is fascinating. Like, you can, like, I'm like, oh, I've met 100 people this week, but they're the wrong people, because I wasn't focused on my target market and my clients. I was networking with people that were never going to be my clients and didn't make any sense for me. And so, gosh, like, all the stuff I've learned in the last, like, 8 years has been phenomenal. Mm-hmm. In terms of that. And one of the few things that's really helped me was, for the first few years, I actually never went to conferences as a delegate. I'd only speak. But one of the things I did, I think, back in 2010 or 11, was I actually went to my first conference as a delegate. I was like, wow, this is amazing. And I was learning so much, and I talked to some really cool people. And that was a big shift for me. The other big shift for me was getting my first business coach and my first mentor. That, again, providing some focus and accountability and a sounding board, that was huge for me. I couldn't believe some of the stuff. Because they would ask me questions that, oh, yeah, I never thought about that. Oh, yeah, why am I doing that? That's crazy. Even though because as an entrepreneur, I'm just doing thousands and thousands of things. I have hundreds of things in my mind. So it's hard for me to spend the time processing every single thing. Is it specifically strategically aligned to exactly what I'm trying to do? And so having that mentor and coach really helped me with that.
It's, you know, on the entrepreneurship note, I mean, I think a huge rule of thumb that a lot of, like, it's almost like a misconception. When people do entrepreneurship, they come in and they think they have to do everything. Right?
Yeah.
They feel like I have to control everything, right? Because, or else it's never going to get done, or it's going to get done and it's going to be this crappy quality. But I think over time, all entrepreneurs, we all learn that you don't actually have to do it all, you know, and it becomes, you know, now it becomes, you know, how do you, you know, manage people? How do you, you know, have different interns, and how do you do that? So.
Absolutely. I mean, learning to manage people properly and learning to leverage your resources, which includes your time and includes your people, that's a huge part of focus and a huge part of scaling and growing.
Mm-hmm. So, okay, you don't read that many business books or leaderships, which is fine. Are there maybe any, maybe you're a documentary guy. So what's, you know, have you been watching any, you know, great documentaries lately?
Gosh, you know, like I can't, honestly, I haven't seen very many of that lately. I mean, for the most part, you know, I have kids, right? So it's hard to watch documentaries. You know, back in the day before we had kids, we'd go see documentaries all the time. So I remember watching The Corporation. Oh my God.
Yeah.
If you ever see that one where they describe the corporation as a psychotic.
No, I haven't, but oh my God, I've definitely that's heard of it. Yeah.
Fantastic. Fantastic. I mean, it definitely put a lot of, it changed my mindset in terms of how I manage or deal with corporations and understanding, you know, what their purpose is. Mm-hmm. So that's a good example of a documentary that I would love.
For sure.
And,
well,
I love documentaries that are mostly about people and the things that go through. Like if I saw a documentary on Gandhi or a documentary on let's say, Jane Goodall with the gorillas. That would be amazing. That would be amazing for me because I just love that people who take on a purpose that's just so powerful and people connect with it and they just decide to put all their interest in it. I find that fascinating. I was actually watching a documentary. It was a video documentary about 12 minutes long, and it was about this guy who basically he was in India and he would go around and just find poor homeless people and poor people and just give them baths and wash their feet. And that was his service because these people didn't have access to clean water. And I just thought, wow, what an amazing purpose. Because it's something that most of us either don't think about doing or could never do. And it's just a powerful statement to servant leadership and just service. And he's doing something that has purpose, that has benefit. And ultimately, that's going to be his legacy. I thought it was really amazing.
I mean, what an amazing example. Of just giving, right? I mean, I know, you know, the theme is like, you know, networking is about giving, you know, it's about actually caring, actually putting, you know, some thoughts, you know, for the other person, right?
That's what leadership is about, service, right? And, you know, we often, and a lot of us would be like, oh, I would never work at McDonald's or for minimum wage. I mean, this guy was just going around helping people on his own. Like that to me is powerful.
Wow. Yeah, no, that's really great. I mean, wonder how we could track that down for the show notes, but okay. So last question before we kind of wrap up, what does the word change maker mean to you when you hear it?
Well, a change maker is probably one of the root qualities of leadership. You know, I define leadership as evolving, changing, learning, and growing for the better, such that you can impact yourself and ultimately impact others and change the world. So leadership is that act of constantly evolving, changing, growing, and learning for the better. So when you say change maker, that's twofold for me, because leadership is about the change maker within. You have to change yourself, because the better I am, the better everyone else will be. The more healthy I am, the better it is for my family, the better it is for my clients, the better it is for the people that I inspire. The more engaged I am, the better connector I am, the better off everyone else will be. And then secondly, once I change myself to be that leader, to be that person that makes a difference, then as a change maker, I can also impact other people. And, you know, my purpose and my why statement are all about changing people and changing the world. And so I'm hugely invested in the lost leader. I'm hugely invested in making that impact. And so for me, that's what change maker means to me.
That's absolutely wonderful. I was in another earlier interview with actually the mentor I mentioned earlier in this conversation. His name is Tuan Nguyen, and you know, he's a guy, you know, he's had some success with business, but his biggest thing was he's raised millions and millions of dollars for charity. You know, he sits on the boards of United Way and CHEO, and he's done some amazing things for the community. And he, you know, when he came on the show, he referenced the framework. He was like, the first thing, you know, people think about, you know, volunteerism, and they think about making a difference. He would say, the thing is, you have to focus on yourself. You have to focus on setting the goals. What do you want to get out of this? And the whole theme was, and the whole theme of, you know, almost the show is saying, you have to change yourself to become that leader, to become that better person, so that you could lead others, so that you could actually have further impact.
Absolutely.
In all that you do. And I love your answer there, because, you know, you're so right. It's not necessarily like, oh, I'm just going to go change the world. The way to change the world is to change yourself.
Yeah, a better you is better everyone else.
Absolutely. I could say it no better. So that's awesome.
That's great.
Okay. Well, how could, you know, people listening to this, how could they, you know, find you, minus, you know, I know you're big on Twitter, but minus, you know, just Googling you, where can they learn more about your personal branding conference? Where can they learn more about your networking tactics?
Sure. So, I mean, my main website is realan.com, R-A-E-A-L-L-A-N. But also my networking mastery program, the one I just launched, it's at realan.com/networking mastery, all one word. And the conference, Discover Your Personal Brand, or DYPB, is at www.dypb.ca. So if you want to be part of that conference, I highly recommend you take it on and check it out. There's going to be 450 delegates and 50 plus experts in personal branding. It's going to be an amazing 2 days. And for the Networking Mastery, again, I've launched this program where I basically do 12 of my signature keynotes and workshops over the last 10 years, and I've compressed into 12 online modules just for people to ramp up their business, ramp up their careers, ramp up their thought leadership and social media mastery. So, and networking as well. So if people are interested, I'd love for you to check those things out. And if you have any questions, I make myself very accessible, and you can tweet me, text me, email me, you can call me. I'm very responsive.
All right. Well, that sounds super valuable. I mean, I'm definitely going to check out your conference there. But thank you once again, Bobby, for being on the show. And we'll talk to you next time.
My pleasure, Jay. Happy to be here. And good luck with all your stuff, too.
All right. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks.
That is it for this week's interview. Did you like what you heard? If so, please subscribe, rate, and review the podcast. We're building a community together for change makers under the belief that together we can change the world. Join the movement at www.theinnerchangemaker.com. You can also go there for show notes and additional resources not provided in the podcast. Until next time, live with passion, live your dream, and live it now.